There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Do you want to boost the economy like Taylor Swift? Do you want to run a business empire like Rihanna? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh, culture?
Oh, yes.
My goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Now, you said you were sort of shook a second ago. What has shook you?
I just saw a tweet from a reader. At my Sayer Lady just tweeted at us.
And what did they say?
Las Culturistas should also know if you click the ellipsis next to someone's Be Real, it will show you how many times they retook it.
Oh!
Isn't that shocking?
That is shocking, shady, and shitty.
Can I be real right now and say that?
Always with me.
Thank you. This podcast has been a be real for 6 years.
Honey, be real? More like been real.
Honey!
It's actually real culture number 14. Honey!
Honey, be real. Real?
More like been real.
Real. Say that.
Hashtag lost culture.
Hashtag lost culture. But I will say I have retaken several B-reels. And that's not being real.
That's not being real. And you had the gall to be on here. I'm like, I think this is going to save social media. It's getting me to be so real.
It's still orders of magnitude better than any other social media platform.
I'm actually reaching over with my foot right now to grab my... For those of you... Because podcasts are not a visual medium. I'm actually horizontal right now, sort of like Mariah in her reality show, Mariah's World. I'm horizontal on my bed in my hotel right now. I'm reaching over with my foot to get my phone because I think the reason why I'm getting it is because I don't want Be Real to tell me to be real and then I'd be late.
What will happen... Going forward, we need a plan. If Be Real happens this episode or any other episode, mm-hmm. during recording, what do? I think we have to be real.
We have to be real. And I have to be real right now. I really hope that happens. I hope that happens because let me tell you something. I want everyone to know what I'm doing right now. I want everyone to know about the people I'm with and talking to because I'm talking to legends. Before we sort of bring in the legend, can we talk about your legendary night you presented at the Tony Awards, you fucking sick fiend?
I presented at the Tony Awards and I was telling our guest and you moments ago that like we're just again and I know it's so uninteresting to
this
hear.
this is so interesting
no but it's so uninteresting conceptually to hear someone talk about how tired they are and we know we realize publicists and readers that we've been doing this for the last few episodes talking about how tired we are but you know the Fire Island press cycle is not over yet
not even close
and so
Sorry, by the way.
It will culminate in the Culture Awards. That will be basically the last press stop.
Which is this weekend on Saturday, and we want to see you all there. So Bowen and I are doing Watch What Happens Live. By the time this comes out, that'll be out. And we're going to P-Town so Bowen can get an award and I can sort of hashtag be there. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday night is the Culture Awards. And then that's really kind of it.
That's kind of it. And that would be a perfect sort of coda and a little period to the whole thing.
Yeah, it will be a coda and a period, for sure.
It'll be coda and a period. Anyway, the Tonys, I'm just, my body is just like barely functioning. And so I did unfortunately feel like I was dissociating the entire time I was there. And it was a 4-hour ceremony.
That is long. And that is sort of a choice when, like, when the Tony Awards or any awards body is like, you know what we're going to do? Be very long. Like, yeah. that is a real genuine choice. I will say that I read something that made me really laugh about you presenting at the awards. Oh, I told you about this, but they said, it was someone who tweeted and said, the Tony Awards audience just reacted to Bowen Yang coming on stage like Andrew Garfield coming out of the portal in Spider-Man. Like, like they were just like, oh my God, it's Bowen Yang from Saturday Night Live. It's you. So exciting.
I was just impressed that people had the energy towards the end of the show because I was presenting towards the end and I'm like, everyone's going to be so tuckered out.
Out of all the performances, who tore and slayed and went off the hardest?
Oh my God. Drakina Kalukango was incredible and fucking immediate standing O as soon as she's done. And then her speech was also like everyone was shaking. And then I had to follow that. By coming in. I think maybe she probably set me up. She amped up that entire crowd so that I could come out and be like, Queen Slay pop star Henry VIII, six. And then it happened.
This is six.
Six. Oh my God, but it was actually really fun to, I will be real and say, isn't it like our dream to like present that, not an award.
All I want to do is present.
Not an award, but like for like be the Travolta for the Frozen, you know?
100%. That's all I want to do.
And I am a little gagged if I think about it now. But yesterday was such like a, okay, now you go here, you go here, you go here. It was just like really, really crazy. And I will say the grounding force was Eddie Valk, our stage manager at SNL, was stage managing the Tonys, and it was actually really nice to have him there. Sorry, this is some showbiz.
I thought you looked absolutely stunning, like a queen. And P.S. my night was interesting too because I had game show at the Bell House, and Tomas. By the way, everyone's obsessed with Tomas now from the episode last week, of course. And
they
came
already.
And absolutely destroyed game show. You have to go onto their Instagram. They posted their make an entrance, which is what the Wise Queer does in the second half of the show. It's a you'll see. Just go to Tomas's Instagram and watch their make an entrance. It's so iconic. But anyway,
I took them to Bubble Tea on Friday and they were the belle of the ball.
Yeah, the main event, of course.
The main event. Truly.
Unparalleled star quality beyond.
Beyond.
Speaking of beyond. So sort of what's going to happen this weekend is not just the Culture Awards. So basically, this is the schedule for the weekend. Friday, the finale of I Love That For You is streaming on Showtime.
Oh my God.
Then Saturday is the Culture Awards.
Uh-huh.
Then Sunday at 8:30 p.m. on Showtime, I Love That For You airs. Because the interesting thing about I Love That For You on Showtime is it has its episodes come out twice, sometimes even three times. And that's what's so kind of queer about the show. They talk about how, you know, like there's actually some, you know, if you watch the last episode, there's actually sort of maybe a queer love story starting. I don't know. But the queerest thing about the show is how they choose to release the episodes, which is sort of everywhere all at once, everything everywhere all at once. You know what I'm saying?
Queer Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, it's very queer.
Steph Shue is queer.
Basically, what I'm saying is the finale is this week. And we have the co-creator. Really my boss. I call him daddy all the time. He insists upon it. And he is the co-creator of the show I Love That For You. And really amongst many other things, Bo. This is an icon and a legend.
I was really crushing, standing since like the Onion days.
Crushing even. Okay.
Crushing reveal. Even. Well, it was just like, it was Mr. Beiler. Not Mr. Beiler, it was Jeremy Beiler. You were like,
didn't you guys match on Tinder?
No. Well, I don't think he remembers this.
Oh. Well, I remember you saying it.
I remember, because I remember it. Oh. We can't talk about it.
Yes, we can. We can talk about anything. This is one of the most explicit, sexual, like graphic podcasts out there. This podcast has been heralded for the way that it talks about gay sex. It really has. The podcast has received critical acclaim, and many think that it changes the way that gay men speak. Like Sex and the City, women didn't talk before that show came out. And now gay men are talking to each other finally because of this podcast. It's just what Wikipedia says.
I thank you for actually inspiring, and I don't think so. I have my I don't think so, honey, for this episode.
Yes.
And it has to do with I love that for you. But I won't bring it up during God the discussion it. The rest of the episode.
Oh, stay tuned until the end.
Until the end.
Stay tuned until the end. Hope this episode has good stickability.
You've been liking the word sticky lately. Mm-hmm. You've been saying the movie Sticky.
The movie Sticky.
I love that for you is sticky.
It is sticky.
Okay, well, we actually have to tell our guest about all of the most perfect moments of praise that Matt has gotten from the wildest assortment of people.
It is true. But we'll talk about it. Okay, so...
We'll talk about it.
Yes. Our guest has written for Inside Amy Schumer, fucking Saturday Night Live, ever heard of it? And it basically is the co-creator with Vanessa Bayer. And, you know, it just the genius of all time of I Love That For You, the show that I am so proud to be a part of. And the finale airs this week. Everyone, please welcome into your goddamn ears the one, the only, Jeremy Byler!
Oh, hey, my motherfucker. God. I legitimately... starstruck.
Live from Spain.
Getting to see from Spain.
From Spain.
How fucking obnoxious.
No!
you can hear people like switching to another podcast. This white man vacationing in Europe is the first thing that we talk about.
I think the thing is, you're not the most exotic location that we've talked to someone from. Alan Cumming was in an Australian limestone cave.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. The stalactites. The stalagmites. Yeah. I have to listen to that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alan will always one up anyone, like any of us.
He seems like a fancy person who's kind of gallivants,
but like has a house upstate. Like I think he seems very balanced to me in terms of his creature comforts. Like he knows how to enjoy everything.
I once long ago saw him in Cabaret and had a mutual friend or something that brought us backstage into his dressing room, and he had like the classic. Like old Hollywood dressing room where there's like his own lamps and like a fridge full of drinks and just so much kitsch and like handkerchiefs. And it was really like fantastic. He feels like one of the people who like still do that kind of vibe.
He has joie de vivre and he is an international phenomenon. Bon vivant. And that is all true. But sort of, you know, just drifting away from that. Do you remember matching with Bowen Yang on Tinder?
It wasn't Tinder, Jeremy.
What was
When did we match? I don't remember, but I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled.
I was working a temp job in Midtown. This is Grindr 2012. I can date it.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a decade ago.
Grindr 2012.
Yeah. But nothing came of it, obviously.
I was really playing the numbers at that time.
We all were. We still are.
It was basically Keno. I was like the old lady playing Keno.
And how'd you do?
And I won, baby.
Yes!
A husband.
Oh, yes! My God.
Wait,
Jason.
But we met IRL. We met IRL.
You and Jason met IRL?
Yeah. We met at a dinner party that neither of us like wanted to go
chic.
To.
Oh my God.
Fantastic.
See,
that's, it was so, I know. Yeah. Exactly.
You can't ask for anything better. You really can't.
Well, it was tumultuous. It was like, he was in a relationship. I was, as I said, playing the numbers but we were like, we just had like an immediate like thing, like a moment. But that actually made me so sad because I had spent so much time just like kind of sleeping around and like hanging out. And I was like, oh, here's a person who I actually like really connect with intellectually, very attracted to, like he's hilarious, beautiful. Mm-hmm. So
he
like that,
all
the
those
thing,
things.
Like the spark. And then I was like, oh, but of course he's taken. I was like, of course that like this person is not for me. And I'm not, it's not like me to like, I didn't pursue. I was like, maybe we'll be friends or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there was just sort of this undeniable connection and he ended up breaking it off with his other person and
because
marrying
of you?
My gay ass because of me.
Wow, that's kind of iconic.
That's iconic. How long? It's what?
Well, I don't know. It's complicated. You know,
it's complicated.
To quote who made that movie? Nancy Meyer. No,
To quote Nancy Myers, it's complicated. Okay, that's Nancy actually real culture number 100. To quote Nancy Myers, it's complicated.
It's complicated. How long was the period of tumult or complication? Like, how long did it take?
Truly so short.
It's no notes. Like, you met, you had a meet cute at a dinner party that neither of you wanted to be at. It feels like a Sally Rooney book or some shit. Like, it sounds so nice.
It was really pretty magical. And then we, we had our moments. You know, we've been together five years and it's work, baby, but right now he's like making a fire outside. And,
that's so sweet.
Yeah, it is. It's right after we got together, he wrote a play that was going to be up in Williamstown, and he was going to be there for like several months. And then I was going to be in Tokyo with a couple of friends for like several weeks. So we like immediately connected, but then we were going to be in completely different places. And I drove before we'd even like touched or done anything. I drove up to Williamstown, and we had our little magical weekend. And then he came to Tokyo.
Oh. I'm so hot for this.
Wait, so you went up to Williamstown and you guys fucked it all up like for the weekend?
Every corner of that little
town. That rocks! Oh my god, I want to have a fuck weekend.
I want
so
that
bad.
So badly.
Oh my god, it's been such a long time since I had a fuck weekend with someone I really like.
Everyone's bad right now.
What are your love lives like? What's going on? Can I ask?
Are we both going through something similar where we're being like,
I'm needing to release something I think it'll be good, but I kind of like, for me it's like I haven't done this in a long time, but I sort of let myself like emotionally run amok on something, and like it's fine. I just had like a sort of summer situation last year that I thought maybe would continue and is not going to, which is totally fine. And for the best, and we still love the person. But the thing is, like, it did give me that little taste of like, oh, I really like someone. And like, I think I didn't realize how much I kind of want that. I've been kind of saying the thing of like, oh, I'm fine not in a relationship. It's better for me to be single, et cetera. I've been enjoying it. But then like, there is those little things like, I don't know. I'm so much more of a, it's like a grass is greener thing, right? It's like when you're in a relationship and it's great for a while, then you really want to be single. And now that I'm not in one, I'm feeling those little like nibbles again of like, oh, I forgot. I'm someone that likes to be taken care of and like loved. And like, I do have that unfortunate impulse to want someone to be obsessed with me and only me. And it's, you know what I mean?
Is that what you want out of it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, it's like, I'm trying to to be honest with you, because I can promise I would love to be obsessed with someone else too. Like I do crave that thing of like, this is my person. We're obsessed with each other. And like, for however long that's going to last is great. But I don't know. Also, this summer, I'm kind of interested in like just kind of being a capital W whore, which probably will happen.
Life is long, honey. It's going to be you just make sure that whoever it is deserves you.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Bowen Yang, you feeling Sim?
I'm feeling Sim. And yeah, it's that thing where I really want to be infatuated with someone. And that hasn't happened.
It's exciting and it feels good.
I know. But it has to. I wonder what that is. People have written about it for ages. And yet, we still don't know.
And usually when people write about things for ages, there should be an answer by now. But feelings, they're complicated. They're a lot.
They're complicated a lot. That's rule of culture number 7.
Feelings, they're complicated a lot.
That was the original title of Nancy. Tighten it, honey. Tighten it up.
Even Nancy has a first draft. You know what I mean? Nancy doesn't just walk over to final draft and nail it every time. Nancy struggles, Nancy's there. She's typing away. She's drinking her Yoo-Hoos. I don't know why I picture her drinking Yoo-Hoos.
she definitely does. She fluffs a pillow.
I fucking
She's
love
like,
Yoo-Hoos.
Sunlight streams into the room. No, floods the room.
Yeah.
The room is drowning in sunlight.
And they're like, they're not going to read the stage directions in the movie. It can be whatever it is. Like, just work on the dialogue, mama.
You guys remember Something's Gotta Give?
Of course.
Where Diane Keaton is playing the playwright.
Oh,
and like, she makes writing look... If there's some similarity between Erica Berry's which is the character's name.
Yes.
If there's a similarity between Erica's process and Nancy's process, I feel like there's something not quite right about that, because it's her in her Hamptons house facing the window typing, and the writing is not good. It seems like I love my girl Nancy, but it seems like Erica Berry is not that good of a playwright. Like the movie playwriting is like not great to me.
Do you stand Nancy? I feel like you do, Jeremy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's 100%. The vibe I get. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Fun. Yeah.
But then you get in the movies like lines like fucking like. Do you know what this is? This is heartbreak. How's that for impervious? Huh? Like, are you?
So good.
To me it's a guilty pleasure. To me it's scratching that corner of the brain that's like, I want to watch a movie, but also I want to like flip through a magazine. And it's like I get to do both in the same like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Which is genius. Like that's a genius, alchemy. And I can I just say, not that people care about my process in any of this, but for Fire Island, like the thing that like anchored the whole performance was I was watching scenes from Something's Gotta Give, like the scene, like,
oh, I love that.
Like in terms of like the heart, like playing the heartbreak of it, I was just like, okay, like it's Erica, it's like it's Diane mm-hmm. Keaton, like realizing that like walking away from Jack Nicholson in the house, being like, oh, we should sleep in separate beds. Mm-hmm. Like that is such a good scene to me. Ah,
oh, that is an amazing scene.
Amazing
and Diane
scene.
Keaton is so like, she's so like blah 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 blah, like she's so. Oh my God, she's off the page. She's off the page.
Totally off the page.
She is so good in that movie. Honestly, and she didn't kind of stand a chance for the Oscar that year because that was Charlize Theron's big monster year. Right. It's sort of like when Charlize Theron put on a different face and gained, you know, 15, 20 and like put on like a mullet to like pretend she was a swamp monster, serial killer, and then never ever did that again. She's like kind of only hot now. But that was like the big year for her. But Diane Keaton, that's like, talk about like a movie that never would have been nominated for an Oscar until someone comes in and like destroys.
100%. She like took what was there and my God. That's like one of the great scenes. She's like, for a millisecond she's crying and then she's not. It's like that kind of
Nancy stays on her and then fucking Diane goes through like 10 different micro expressions and then she goes, this was a really wonderful night. And then walks away.
It's so good. Because honestly, that is how it feels.
Yes.
Like when that is bittersweet. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, oh God, I start crying. It's just that kind of thing of like, it really was nice, but it's also wrong. And you feel great, but you feel bad. And you feel anxious, but you also know what it is. And it's kind of just like, you also feel like you played yourself, but also you're happy you did it because it's great to experience all the emotions. And then you're like, I want to take it back, but also you never would. You know, it's just, and it's all coming across in that moment. And that's why I love romantic comedy so much. And that's why it's like, with Fire Island coming out, like I keep playing the Sometimes cover by Muna and I keep just getting so emotional because I'm so happy and proud to be a part of like a great rom-com. And like Bowen, like the scene in the movie where you get that moment with James, like that to me is like what I love about movies. And that's why I love, like, you know, it's I love Nancy Myers. I love Nancy Myers.
God.
I cannot fucking wait to see Fire Island. I can't believe I haven't seen it yet.
And don't worry.
Matt, for the readers, Matt, you were giving just now into the Zoom as you were describing, you were giving a performance, right? Just now.
Yes.
Like you were giving it.
Yes.
Well, thanks.
That was really
well,
beautiful.
Jeremy. I'm always sort of auditioning for you, so you can see what I can do, so you put it into the show. You know what I mean?
Can I toss you an adjustment?
Yeah, always, baby.
What's okay? Both of you, tell us what.
Make
the...
it seem like good writing.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! We're all going together, the Lost Culture family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Tell me and the readers what the dynamic was. Jeremy coming with an adjustment, Sudi coming with an alt. Like what's it looking like?
Oh, my favorite thing ever. I mean, like
Sudi with the alts is, come on, no one better.
Sudi with the alts. Oh my God. She's fucking Babe Ruth.
Yeah, 100%. Sudi actually was the one who came in and said, I mean, probably my favorite moment on the show that I get to do, well, that everyone by this time has seen if they're watching it, is like the discourse is toxic, where when Darcy gets his bag finally, and then he's posing with it in the mirror and sort of rehearsing lines he's going to say to people when he can carry this bag and have like a serious conversation with people. And we're brainstorming things he could say. And Sudi came in and she said, just say the discourse is toxic. And I was like, that is so fucking funny.
Good.
And I just pictured you two clowns in Village just like cracking each other up, and it made me really happy.
Oh, that was 100% Sudi. That was a full Sudi invention. And also that scene, the pairing, to give you a sense of the dynamic, Bowen, like the Matt and Sudi together, like collaborating, just like having a moment, having an idea, like putting it on screen, like we did, that was its own thing. That was like a constant source of genius for the show. And it was like, set up, knock them down. It's such a like flow that you guys have that's so beautiful and so funny. And that scene is one of my favorite scenes in the show. And it's one of the only scenes in the entire show that when we saw the first cut of it, that like usually is longer and like includes like everything that the editors loved. We didn't change that scene one frame. We didn't change a frame of that scene. It was like, this all has to be there. It's perfect.
That's so nice.
That's Matt. That's Matt for
that's
you.
That's Matt. That's
oh,
Matt.
Stop.
And that's genius. And that's the show. It's the show too. I gotta say, I feel like I come to a lot of viewing experiences when I watch a show or something as like compulsory, as like it's homework. And it never has felt that way once with I Love That For You For Me. It's always been, oh, great. It's Friday when it streams, or it's Sunday when it airs. Like I get to watch, I get to watch a new episode.
Or there's a secret sneak preview that no one knew about.
That, actually, I was in New York that night. It was like April 17th and the show was going to secretly premiere on linear. Like on a Sunday night, like after the First Lady, and I was with Bowen and Sudi and our friend Dave Mazzoni. And I was like, would you guys want to watch it? And that was the same night I was on Watch What Happens Live, so we watched that, and then we watched I Love That For You. And I remember being a little nervous. Sudi and I were a little nervous because, you know, we obviously care what they think. And I remember Bowen turned to me after the pilot and he was like, this was such a great pilot. This is exactly the kind of show I want to watch. And like, it made me feel really good and confident. Like, obviously, I was always confident, but like, you know, all you want is for your smart, funny friends to think it's smart and funny. And then he did. So that's because of you, though, bitch. I mean, you came up with the shit.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's because of you. It's because of a billion people. It's so much bigger than the sum of its parts. I share that like feeling that like that you like it, Bowen, is very meaningful to me because I feel like you are truly a tastemaker, a genius. I like it, that is very meaningful to me. That means a lot.
I mean, it's just true. It's very honest. I mean, that thing that I said to Matt is in terms of like being the show that like is exactly the kind of show I want to watch is like, was just the truth. And I want to say that it's just such a great vehicle for Vanessa. I know it's like her, she's the face of the show, but it's like, she's just such a good lead for this kind of thing.
Oh, she is such fucking genius. And also, like, she's the type of person who, when we wrote together at SNL, like, it was like, oh, writing for this person makes me a funnier writer. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, when you hand them something and it's just, like, they do, like, the 90% of it that's, like, really making it. It just makes you take bigger swings. It makes you feel better. I'm just, like, I'm just in love with Vanessa Bayer. She's one of the great gifts of my life.
Yeah. It really, the ensemble, like, you know, we had a good feeling about it, but watching the show, and this is something, so the finale is this weekend, everybody, and I honestly have thought since the beginning that it would make a really great binge. So if you have not yet done it, you can get the Showtime trial and, you know, you can knock it all out and then watch the finale. And I honestly think all 8 episodes are going to feel very cohesive and good together because the arcs are going to be really fun to see play out in that short little burst. And I'm just excited for people to see it because the journeys for all the characters are really, really clear, especially, I think, with Molly. I think for me, it's like, you know, episode to episode, like watching it week to week is one thing. And then I think watching it all together, like what's really great to me, and there's so many great things, but something I wanted to compliment you on that I've noticed, and Molly as well, is that there's stuff in the pilot about Molly's character and even the second episode that you think, oh, that's just a Molly Shannon quirk that ends up like really paying off in a huge character way and in a writing way by the end. And I honestly think having seen like episodes 6 and 7 and now 8, like it really, the seeds are there from the beginning in a way that's like really, really cool. So this to me is like, I think going to really be a good binge.
I agree with you that like the show is actually pretty serialized. If you watch, yeah, I think watching it all together, I think, will be a nice experience.
Absolutely.
But that is a credit to our incredible writers' room. Like, truly, our writers' room is just fucking geniuses. Geniuses.
They're so great.
Albertina Rizzo.
Yeah, she's
Crystal
fab.
Jenkins, Zora B. Kangaga, Sudi Green, Ali Liebegott, Jesse Klein.
Ali Liebegott, baby. Yeah, I mean, one of the best. I wanted to ask you, though, so something I get asked a lot about the show is, because you are the gay co-creator of the show and I'm the gay role on the show.
Openly gay.
And we're both openly gay men.
Yeah.
And we should say that. Openly gay. And so what I wanted to ask you was something I get asked all the time is like, well, how did you navigate this not being like just the sassy gay assistant? Or how did you navigate like this not being like, so, and I even get told sometimes like, you really elevate this part from just being the assistant, just the assistant, mm-hmm. just the assistant, et cetera. And what I loved about it from the very beginning was that like, he seemed to be aware of that trope and wanted to remind everyone, actually, no, you take me seriously. And then immediately gets treated by Jennifer as the assistant. And then we see that navigation and that rub and that push and pull. But I would imagine that like as the creator of this show and as a gay man and as a gay person like in entertainment, like that role probably did give you an opportunity to push that forward. So I just wanted to like ask you about like what went into like creating the gay character on the show. I feel so lucky to play it because it's so dynamic, but like I wanted to ask about like how you approached it.
You know, I think we when we wrote the pilot, we just, Vanessa and I love this idea of somebody who was like struggling for power and just mm-hmm. didn't get it and was kind of walked all over. And I think like the gay of it all, like, I don't know that I like thought too much about it. And I think maybe that's sort of an example of like, maybe we stepped into a trope that we didn't really realize that we like should have been a little more aware of. But I do feel like from that I'm talking about like the early stages of it, but like from there, it's like once we knew that it was you and that it would be so much more and that you're just so funny with any scenario that like I personally don't look at it as like he's the gay one, he's the gay assistant, like even though I can see that like I've also gotten that question too, so I think that is part of what we've made in the show, but I just didn't think about it that way. I don't know, I just feel like he's, I feel such attachment to Darcy, especially after, you know, on the page I felt it, and then times a millions after seeing you play him. And we have so many ideas for him, so many backstories and so many things that we just, even for real estate sake, like didn't get to show or had to cut for money. Like we had this, did he ever tell you about this scene that we cut for Darcy where he goes and visits his cousins?
No, what's that?
Oh my God. So we couldn't afford it. But so where there was this scene where Darcy goes to like I'm trying to remember the details, but he goes to like his cousin's birthday party or something. Uh-huh. And it's his cousin's kid. It's a 9-year-old birthday party. And it's at like 10 p.m. in like a dirt filled backyard. And like,
those Darcy are so expensive. No wonder you couldn't afford it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Okay. It was like a location day? No, everything has to be in these four walls. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah,
literally.
And then Darcy like shows up in, you know, wearing his like loafers and like just very, and we get this sense of like him with his family, like just very out of place. And it's like, and then I think originally that was when he bought the bag.
Because he was like reminded that he comes from trash in his mind. He's embarrassed about his origins.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Genius. Great writing. Amazing. Is there a Tony left for me?
I'm going to make a call. I think this is the thing. Like, I think people are so easily like programmed with a quote unquote stereotype or a trope that like they think examining it or like popping the hood open on a character level for any like one instance of that trope is like something that they can write off, but it makes it so worthwhile. I mean, it's why like Legally Blonde is great. It's because it's like taking this like stereotypical dumb blonde person, but actually like excavating like what she is like as a human being. I think you guys are doing that with this trope of what a gay man on TV as a character usually is, quote unquote. And yet like, of course you're going to like fill out all these different contours in like his life, you know, like hearing that like cousin backstory is like, makes perfect sense to me. And like, I'm like, I want to see that. I don't know.
Yeah. And I also think like it's in there enough in the subtext where it's like, that's sort of, I understand him now. And I remember in the very beginning, like, because I had only seen really the pilot, maybe it's my own like, not trauma, but like experience with like, you know, playing roles like this. Cause I actually have played assistants quite a lot. I would imagine that we've all done an assistant.
I have.
So it's just what we're given so many times. And so I think like, I was like, oh, I really wonder where it's going to go. And then when it became what it was, and like that there was actual like emotional stuff to go through, and that, yes, it was about this bag, but really it's more about like he wants so badly to be taken seriously and to be to prove to himself that he's more than just someone who's secondary. Like, to me, that's like really rich stuff. And I think that, you know, by the end, like, what I love about it is he's in such a different place than he is in the beginning. And so, honestly, like, it feels weird, but, and it's like this with Fire Island too, but before this, I had never, ever, ever even gotten the opportunity to play a character with an arc at all. Like, the only thing I had ever done was just, like, come in and, like, say a joke or whatever, which is fun and fine, but, like, you know, I think that it's, like, you work for so many years to get, like, to get this opportunity, and then for it to be so good, and, like, you know, I remember towards the end, like when I was getting the scripts and just hearing everyone scream in their trailers about how good they all were, I think to me it was just exciting for it to be surprising and for it to be layered, because I think as like a gay actor, like, and as a gay, even as a gay writer and gay creator who's like had the opportunity to write these types of things for myself, like, because you're experiencing so many times like a limited amount of things to do, like, you just don't imagine yourself doing them. And so then there I was, like, in episode 7, like, playing that scene with Perry where it goes a certain way, and it's just exciting for me. And so I guess, like, I'm just so grateful to you and thankful to you for caring so much about the character and, like, you know, making it something that's so fun to play and so funny, but also, to be honest with you, real, because I get it. I understand someone that takes themselves very seriously and like works very hard, or not even that they take themselves seriously, is very hard on themselves.
Yeah.
And like, I think that in doing it, like, I was hard on myself. And so now to watch it and be so proud of it is I can't thank you enough. And like, I don't know, from the very beginning when I first came in for the audition, I felt really good about it. It's been such a good experience. And so I really, oh my God.
Matt, I can't thank you enough, truly. And also, when you walked into that audition, it was like the role belonged to absolutely nobody else. It was just not, It was just not a question.
That's so nice.
But you also like brought the acting. Like, you brought, like, you like are delivering the moments in this show. Like, it's not just funny, it's more, which is exactly what we needed and wanted. And like, the fact that you can do that, it's just, I can't wait. All that to say, I can't wait for like more, a lot more, if we get to do it.
Well, and Bowen, I don't know if you feel like this, but it's like, and maybe Jeremy too, like, I don't know, just coming, like being true clowns in the beginning of all of this, you know what I mean? Like coming from like truly doing comedy, like being clowns, like getting writing jobs, like doing what you need
speak
to do.
Speak for and yourself.
Yeah. Right. And then, but then like, but like truly like, and then all of a sudden you get an opportunity like this. And Bowen, I would imagine it's like this for you as well. It's like, you don't know that you can do it.
No, totally.
Like, Bowen,
I had no
Fire
idea
Island,
I could do it.
Like, all the stuff that they throw at you for that. Like, sometimes I'd read scripts and it would be like, Darcy is hysterically crying and weeping over this. Or like, this happens. It's like,
I apologize for that.
No. But like, and then you read it and like, there's like, a part of you.
Put something in here and get the draft out.
Yeah. Well, literally, like, there's tips and tricks. But like, a lot of times, like, you as a performer and as an actor, like, when you get those scripts, and like, Bowen, I'm sure this is true for you too, like, you read it and you're like, oh my God, I'm so excited, but am I capable of this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It really is a thing that you go through, right? Like,
totally. Well, Jeremy,
you feel that too, Bowen?
I do, but Jeremy, well, on set, like, it wasn't in the script that you were hysterically crying, but then Jeremy would come in with an adjustment and be like, hey, can you,
do anything that we wrote and do something a little different that we just came up with? Good luck.
I love an adjustment. In theory, I love an adjustment because that's what the job is. And I've started to get less in my head about it, like, especially at SNL, where it's like, oh no, they're not doing this. No, they're not coming in with an adjustment because you're doing a bad job. They're coming in because they want to make it work.
Yeah.
And like, that's all it is, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, the Darcy storyline with the bag, I didn't realize how much I related to that until this past episode, when I was 7, where Jeremy, I'm sure you can relate to this. Like, anyone's first season at SNL in any job is very hard.
Yeah.
And you feel like you are powerless and worthless and not valued. And so you get a decent paycheck for the first time maybe in your life. And so what do? You buy a nice thing for yourself to make you, it's the retail therapy thing of like making yourself feel better. And that is a very human thing that anyone would do in that situation. No matter if they were like the gay assistant, like anybody would like try to, I don't know, just comfort themselves with that.
It's a version of self-soothing. Yeah. It's
mm-hmm. like totally.
It's almost like what the whole show is about in some way too. Yeah. That like I participate in it very much so, like, and Jason does too, that we're like, and in an examined way, but what am I saying? In an way. But just that like when you open a box and it's like your thing that you bought, you're like, yeah. For that one moment, you will never die. You know right. What I mean? It's sort of like,
yeah.
And then you just send it to the island in the middle of the Pacific. And when you're through it.
The garbage island.
The garbage island.
Yeah. It's a show about coping as a means of survival. Like, that's like what is so brilliant about it, I think. And literally, like, in terms of like Joanna and Patricia, like surviving. Joanna at this new place of work. Patricia in terms of like her diagnosis. Darcy in terms of like being treated like garbage at his job. And like just trying to make it through this like Martha's Vineyard trip. Like it's all, I think the allegories are all, and it's not an allegory, but I think all of the like representative narratives are there in terms of like it all feeding into this one concept. That's my take on it, at least.
What's the craziest thing you bought during your first year?
I was going to ask you this. Yeah. Okay. The craziest thing I bought, and Sudi actually encouraged me because Sudi knew that I was like struggling. She was like, you should buy something. You should go to Saks and buy something nice for yourself. And Gary Richardson too. They were both like, go to Saks and buy something nice for yourself. So it was, and Sudi was like, you should buy a pair of shoes so that when you walk around, people go, oh, well, there goes Bowen with his nice shoes. You know, like it's a way for people to like index you or whatever. And so I bought like just the most basic like Gucci sneakers. But at the time, that was like the nicest thing I'd ever bought for myself.
But that's really nice.
What
that's
about you?
Nice. I don't think I bought anything. Like, I think I blew it on like travel. Like
great. You're like, a traveler.
On those breaks, like I just like busted out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the better. That's the better way to spend
like,
it.
On the, yeah. Well, no, and then I would just blow it on like on food, on food. Just so that I didn't have, because you don't have energy to cook anything, and you're like you want something like you just want like 30 shrimp for no reason just to like try and feel better, and yeah.
This is what makes Jeremy like a great creative person is that he spends money on experiences and not like objects.
Yeah.
That's it.
I wish I was like
that's
that.
How he will eventually go down.
What do you mean? Darcy?
Well, no, Jeremy.
Jeremy, no.
Just like the irresponsible like travel.
It's not irresponsible. It's like, can I tell you all I want right now is to go somewhere far away because I haven't done that in like 3 years. And I was going. And I'm reaching out to Brendan Scannell's boyfriend Joe today because he's a travel agent, and I'm gonna be like, can you help me plan this trip?
Yeah,
because I need
where are
it to
you
happen
going?
This summer. So you're gonna go to London and then Mallorca, Spain.
Oh, amazing!
So yeah, maybe Amsterdam because Michelle Collins is there. Oh my god, I was talking to Michelle Collins today.
Oh, really?
She's just in Amsterdam now. She has to come back on anyway.
Oh my god,
I'm going to Amsterdam on Friday.
Damn it! For how long? What are you doing?
For like 5 days, we're seeing like just a close friend of ours there. And then to
smoking
London.
Weed.
Okay.
Smoking that blunt. Smoking that absolute blunt.
It's legal there.
Yeah, honey. Isn't it? It's sort of less fun now that like it's
cafe.
Like legal everywhere. Yeah,
smoke
I know.
Yeah.
I remember when I went there, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to smoke so much weed. Like, yes. Like I don't all the time anyway.
There's
and then
no
I went there
too,
years
yeah.
ago and it was like, I got way too fucking high so quick. And like me, Henry and his brother, Sam, were supposed to go to the Anne Frank house. And so we arrived so stoned at the Anne Frank house and we're like shaking, like it's too emotional to go. We're like, it makes me so anxious. Like you can't go, you can't be so high and then go to the Anne Frank house. You're going to die.
But that,
I would have had a panic attack in there for sure.
You know, that's the experience that millions upon millions of people have had.
Yes, I know. And just shaking. That was such an anxious trip, too. I would have been absolutely out of my mind. But no, I mean, it's also Amsterdam, also like such great food. It's so beautiful. Oh my God, you're going to have the best.
And speaking
time.
Of writing, Anne Frank, I mean,
oh, come on. Amazing authoress.
Amazing authoress.
She really tore. I'm obsessed with tore and tear. Like, I think it's so funny.
So stupid.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Hey, Las Culturistas listeners, we're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Bowen Yang, one of my favorite possessions that I own, I'm not kidding, is my Helix mattress. I have the Helix Midnight. I've had it now for like a little bit over 4 years, and I think about my bed all the time when I'm not in it. It's very hard to get up out of in the morning because the Helix Midnight mattress is perfect for me.
Matt Rogers, I have to agree with my sister. I love my Helix Midnight mattress as well. And sometimes I have what the kids are saying, Helix mattress rot days. Not just bed rot.
Oh my
It's gosh. Helix mattress rot.
See me up in the bed like 50 Lem girls.
Yes. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know? How will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Well, take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a midnight mattress all those years ago because I wanted something that felt medium feel and because I sleep on my side and back.
Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And it's your lucky day. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/LasCulturistas and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I think it's time to ask Jeremy.
I think we have to ask Jeremy the question. Jeremy, the question, the central question of this show, Las Culturistas, is what was the culture that made you say culture was for me? This is a cultural moment in your life in terms of movies, television, theater, Tony's. Music, something in your immediate cultural experience that made you become Jeremy Byler. What was that?
I think for me, it was the movie Titanic. I think I'm
so happy.
It's the 90s. I'm like 15 years old. And like the idea that that my personal boyfriend, Leonardo DiCaprio, would be in a movie that's like about, I feel like I've always kind of also been just like a little bit of a like 45 year old dad who likes history. And like, so the idea that like, this is, wait a minute, this is like a bygone era of like glamour and a tale of like high class, low class, upstairs, downstairs. And it's on this wreck, like this ship sank.
It is like such
it
glamour.
Felt so personal to me, and it felt like that was my, like, I had a personal relationship with Leo DiCaprio. But the idea that that was like so popular and so big and so everywhere, it was almost confusing to me that like this thing that feels like mine is everybody's, and I had like the double VHS.
Who could forget?
That's like, has like, it's like, hold it like the weight of a Bible, you know? It's like,
I remember the Costco drop of the double VHS, and just shelves and shelves of Titanic, and everyone just like snatching these fucking cassettes.
It's so, that was such a moment. Like the release of it all. Like imagine what doing press for that was like. Jesus Christ. Probably two straight years of nonstop Titanic press that like Leo and Kate and James Cameron were doing, like, and the whole cast.
When
and
you had
Celine
to physically
Dion.
Go to places to do to do press.
And they were international. Like, I can only imagine what that experience was like, what that journey was like, to the point where like, I almost feel like I completely understand both of them, like, afterwards not being like, I'm going to do the next huge thing. Like, basically, they offered Kate Winslet Shakespeare in Love on a platter, and she was like, no, I am not doing it. Like, I am not doing another big thing, even if it's like a slam dunk Oscar win, even if I'm right for it, or I would even want to do it. I'm not. And Leo, too, did like that weird movie, The Beach, instead of like probably anything else he could have done. Like, well, both of them are real actors, or like thought that they could be. And so they were like, let me not continue this grand journey, because everything, like you just said, everything about it was so grand, you know?
Yeah, it was strangely meaningful to me.
Can you like go one concentric circle in and can you pinpoint it to Leo specifically, or does Leo have to go with Titanic?
Yeah. What's the sense memory you get from talking about it? Like, what do you smell?
It's like a little bit, it's for sure a little bit sexual, whatever the sense
for sure
is.
Of course.
It's like a little bit like, okay, this is a feeling I want more of. I am Kate Winslet.
Yes.
This is happening to me. I will like run down to the lower decks and like swim through the water and like chop off the handcuffs with like the axe. And
I am stunning and I will survive.
But don't you think that like when Rose was kissing and licking Jack's fingers in the car, that you were kissing and licking Jack's fingers in the car, and that you could smell the sweat after the handprint, you know, like
100%, 100%. I was in that old car.
Yeah.
And you could kind of hear the creaking of the ship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I also feel like, I don't know if it's the one thing that I can pinpoint, because there's also, and this is almost sexual too, there's also like, I'm really into like machinery and like big things and also like things in history. Like, I truly am. And like modes of transportation. And so like, I not only was obsessed with the Titanic movie, I also had this CD-ROM like first person video game like on my Power Mac that was like going through the Titanic. So I also knew like the map of the Titanic and the floors.
Yeah.
And just something about like the machine and it was like I had an orgasm with Leo, and then like double when it's like when the captain's like, engage the reverse engines. It's like it's like the that whole thing. I don't know why. It's the
perfect convergence of all your interests, which is Leo, history, machinery, glamour. Yes.
Yeah.
Glamour.
Titanic was this container for too many amazing things that people love. and nothing will be bigger than it in the culture.
No, no, never.
And there will never be a greater director than the great James Cameron.
I mean, absolutely.
And the fact that his like most iconic follow-up to Titanic is something that they had to invent new technology for, and there's going to be seven of, and it's like just as long and just as crazy and just as like going for it in terms of emotion, even though we can all agree like
no one will care as much.
But like we will be there. Like I'll buy a ticket to Avatar 2 through 9 for sure.
Yeah,
but it's just like that. The only thing that could top Titanic is to like literally leave this world and go to another one and create like another thing, because this was maximalism the house down. It was because you talk about like it got little kids or teens at the time to literally learn just the nuts and bolts of how this thing sank. I remember having explicit understanding of what happened when the iceberg scraped the side, how the water filled all those containers, why they were unable to stop it.
The watertight doors.
Yes.
And it could only cover 5 watertight doors, but not the 6th.
Yes.
And if it goes over the 6th, then she'll break in half.
Yes.
Which and she did.
Which she did.
Which she did. And also I remember like reading up on the decision making that was like essentially those lifeboats were really just for show. There were not enough. Like they never stood a chance. And like the egocentrism of like, you know, what was it? John Jacob Astor, you know, and like all of that, like I just knowing these names and like researching the characters in terms of who they were based on
the historical figure.
In contrast of how they were portrayed, et cetera, the Victor Garber of it all. I mean, it was just so you couldn't read or know enough about it.
Exactly.
And I feel like it was also so smart because it was like it existed in that space of like, this is an awful tragedy where you can watch people like screaming and like praying for their lives and like
die,
getting fully hurt, die, but like far enough away and far enough gone that it's like entertaining or something, or like there's something like it somehow can be also entertaining and you can like eat popcorn during it. Like it's not like a, you know what I mean? I don't know why. Like the Titanic. Just the Titanic. It's the only tragedy that like lives in that space.
That's the thing. But at the time there were fully survivors. Like there's no longer any survivors now. Like they're all gone. Right. But at the time of the release, like people that had been on that ship were alive.
But they saw the movie as, wow, like what an incredible thing that like, and we can speak to this experience. I feel like that was, no one like spoke out against it, right?
I don't know. I wonder, because remember, this is a time when the media was much more controlled by what they wanted the narrative to be. So I don't know that everyone felt like that. I would actually be hard pressed to believe that every single person that was on that ship was like, wow, what a commemoration, and not, oh, is that
what an honor. What an honor to have Leo do this.
But I think Jeremy's right though, because I mean, not to bring this up, but like there were a few people who like sent me messages after I did the iceberg on update. They were like, that's a little insensitive,
don't you think?
And I'm like, okay,
I hope those people get on a ship and go and hit an iceberg.
Well, that's enough. But I was just like, I think you're right. It's like, we all ate popcorn and like jerked off to a movie about this, you know? Like, I think there's been enough distance from it now. And if there is such a thing, I don't know. There's not.
I mean, tragedy is always tragedy.
Tragedy is tragic,
And it's a mystery to me. I don't mean to interrupt you. Sorry. I just.
No. Yeah. I was throwing it over to you. I'm like, right? Like, don't, like you, like, this is what you're saying.
I think so. I think I don't have the answer, but just somehow Titanic, somehow just that one thing is like in the pop, like people are so fascinated with it that it becomes this thing that's like, there's probably like a ride at Disney that's like Titanic. It's like in that kind of space. You know what I mean?
Totally. Totally.
And I don't know why. I just know that it is.
I also think something that is so important that we have to say is it is such an important choice to have her hair be red. It is such an important shade of hair color because it is, I think she's the only person on that ship besides her mother who has that color hair, right? Like, like she is the beauty of the ship. She's literally, her name is literally Rose and she's got red hair. Like even that is just so funny. Like
I find that incredibly genius.
I find it incredibly genius. And the script is so,
the mind of James Cameron.
I mean, yeah. But that's another thing too, is like, you almost have to hand it to the script, like, because we all watch it and we're like, LOL, this script is so bad. Like, LOL, like the fact that she's going to be the one that's like, yes, I noticed that there aren't enough lifeboats. No, Rose, the ship is unsinkable. But that is how you speak to everyone, by dumbing it down so much. It's like,
yes,
everyone's going to get this. It's star-crossed lovers. He's poor. She's rich. They fall in love. They find each other. They finally vocalize it. The ship sinks. And it's a tragedy, and it's based in reality. It's and there's a big song, you know.
And the arc is the first time you see her, she's in a big fucking hat.
Yep,
coming out of a car, and then the last time you see her, she's in rags, you know, on the SS, on the Carpathia, mm-hmm. looking at the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
That's the arc. That is the arc for you.
Yes, yep. Exactly. And she's so miserable. You know, she's just got everything but nothing at the beginning.
Yes. Ah,
and,
I love it.
And you have like the great Bill Paxton scenes where like he occupies such a special place in movies, where he's always like walking next to a truck explaining something, like explaining how it works, like,
yep.
And just really, you buy it.
Oh yeah,
Bill
no,
Paxton,
rest in peace, because he's in another one of my favorite maximalist movies of the 90s, yeah. Twister. I mean,
Twister.
And never forget how Helen Hunt relates to this, because I remember being a little fag watching the Oscars that year and thinking, Titanic is going to win all the Academy Awards. I can't wait for Kate Winslet to win her Oscar for her portrayal of Rose. And then Helen Hunt walked up there, a TV star, and takes the Oscar for As Good As It Gets, which probably, looking back, is the performance of the year. But I remember being so pissed off that that happened to Kate, because I had attached to her.
Yeah.
Of course.
Were we not devastated that Leo did not show up to the Oscars that year?
Not nominated. Not even nominated.
It was a
controversy. It was like really
the beginning of the end for him.
And he of course was a prior nominee for his portrayal of someone with mentally handicapped.
Oh, yes.
I remember that this is also, and I'm gonna use the word,
Gilbert's, because this is what everyone
was saying at the time. Literally, people in the 90s would just be like, and Leonardo DiCaprio's incredibly brave performance as a retarded child. Like, the word retarded was being thrown around so much. Like, so you played a retarded kid in the movie, and you were so good as being retarded. So can you talk a little bit about how you studied to be retarded? He was like, well, when I tried to be retarded, it was just so funny.
Oh,
and you would
God.
Never do it now. And it's such a relic of the past. But the fact that he clearly wanted it so bad, you know,
for Titanic or for Gilbert Grape,
for his entire life, he has wanted
of course,
the way back to his true youth, when he did truly something that you would never do now, which is the most Oscar bait thing in Gilbert Grape, to like play a mentally handicapped person, which we allowed and allowed and allowed, and it never stopped until he finally got his Oscar. Like, the lengths he would go to get one. So of course he didn't show up. This has obviously always been so paramount to him.
I never put that together.
Oh yeah. He's wanted it so bad for so long.
No, really, I don't. Yeah, that's I think you're right.
Yeah,
and I think we can print that.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's printed. It's actually Rule of Culture number 17. Leonardo DiCaprio. He's wanted it so bad for so long.
It's printed. I think I could spend hours talking about Titanic. Truly.
I mean, there's also so many iconic scenes that are only iconic to gay people, such as the scene where Rose's mother puts her in the corset.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know the lines.
The money's gone. Our choices are never easy.
You know
the money's gone.
Gone.
Of course I know. And then she goes, of course I know the money's gone.
Yeah. It's like, you want me to go back to being a seamstress?
You'd see me working as a seamstress.
No, this is the most iconic couplet.
You would see me working.
You would see me working in the street. No, here it is. Why are you being so selfish?
I'm selfish.
That's it. Amazing.
The whole scene is absolutely epic. I mean, I can't. And Frances Fisher is her name of the mother.
Frances
and she never got the credit.
Oh,
no.
Yes.
Never got the credit. And she was in an amazing episode of Grey's Anatomy during season 2. amazing two episodes of Grey's Anatomy in season two.
Who was she in? Who was she in Grey's in season two? What was her role?
She was, remember there was a story at the end of the season where a family of like hillbillies got like hit by a truck, and you know, the pregnant mother was dying and they had to save the baby. And but Frances was so fucking good in it. Anyway, yeah.
That is a performance that, as she says, lost to the winds. She just lost to the winds.
I mean,
did bring it in Titanic. She brought it. She served the fucking story.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say Billy Zane. Can we talk about Billy Zane? What, Jeremy, what's your Billy Zane moment?
When he was on in the movie, I'd be like, okay, I'm looking past, like, next.
You were not tempted.
I don't know. I think I didn't like the character, but then I also, something was like, I don't want to watch this man. I don't know why.
Because he wasn't Leo. Because he wasn't Leo.
Thank you. That's exactly probably right.
He also slaps her.
Tough.
Yes.
And people forget that. He slaps her across the face and screams in her face.
Flips the table.
He flips the table.
A tray or something. And it pretends he's the father of a child.
Well, we have to want her to get out. Yeah. Oh, God, that's right.
Terrible guy.
Also, at the end, the stock market crash, and he put a bullet in his mouth. He put a pistol in his mouth. Like, you find out at the end. Also, like, her performance, the old woman's performance.
Gloria Stewart.
An Academy Award nominee for sitting in a chair and being like,
Do it.
Iconic. I mean, wow.
God.
Titanic, even.
At one point, I think it was at SNL, I don't remember. We never wrote it, but we had a sketch idea for, you know, how like the string quartet keeps playing as the boat goes down. It was like that. You're on the Titanic and it's sinking and that happens. And then you pan over and there's like an improv troupe that's going to keep doing improv as the boat goes down. Like, take a suggestion.
I'm actually not surprised. Like, it's funny that Bowen's iceberg thing popped off so much on SNL. I also was doing a Titanic themed bit for years in my, it's actually still in my stand-up every now and then. I feel a little self-conscious doing it now because I feel like people are gonna be like, oh yeah, here he is doing a Titanic thing even after Bowen did the iceberg. But I've been doing this for years.
I will say about the iceberg, there's no way it wasn't, not that there's no way, but it's like it popped off because it's Titanic, because
yeah, of course,
are obsessed. We know.
Well,
that,
also,
right?
Like, the song is so funny, but, and you're so good to it.
But also because
of
you, like 100% because of you, because of what you made. I mean, it's fucking genius.
There is something about being a gay person who like is obsessed with this, like that you can't help but think of like sketch situations around it. Like, I remember I had written a bunch of Titanic themed sketches in college when I was in Hammercats with Sudi. And then in my stand-up, I do like a gay guy who was like convinced to go on the Titanic with his like gay friends for their cruise trip. And he wanted so badly to be on the Mauritania because it had better nightlife and enough lifeboats and there weren't going to be kids. And now here they are sinking. And like, he's so pissed off that he's so cold, even though he said this was not the boat.
He's just so
pissed off because like the violinists are playing and you can't even dance to this music. It's so fucked up, and he's just mad at his gay friends. But I remember like being on like a gay trip, like it was like a Palm Springs trip or whatever, and like those little squabbles that pop up at hashtag Fire Island, and thinking like, what about a group of gays that were on the Titanic together, thinking it would be fun? And it's just like, like they tried to save money by being in third class, and now they're like gonna absolutely sink. And like, fucking why? Leo didn't even talk to them.
There had to be one gay group on the Titanic.
Oh, 100%. The gays on the Titanic were so fucking pissed.
Poor guys.
Like Oscar Wilde and Bozzy Douglas. Yeah.
Okay, he said he's a history buff.
Okay, here he is.
I don't know if his last name was Douglas or not.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that.
With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
You know, Matt, every day I am looking for new ways to reach my money goals.
I know you are, Bowen, and I also know that that leaves room for little rewards and treats along the way.
Like, for instance, every day that I save, I leave room at the end of the week for a special delivery order.
With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with Spot Me, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Sometimes you have an emergency and overdrafts happen. With Chime, you and your friends can spot each other by using boosts to increase your overdraft limits.
Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress.
Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals.
No monthly fees or maintenance fees.
And over 60,000 fee-free ATMs.
To date, Chime has spotted members over 20 billion.
Take control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees.
Open your account in minutes at chime.com/culturistas. That's chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Bowen Yang, one of my favorite possessions that I own, I'm not kidding, is my Helix mattress. I have the Helix Midnight. I've had it now for like a little bit over 4 years, and I think about my bed all the time when I'm not in it. It's very hard to get up out of it in the morning because the Helix Midnight mattress is perfect for me.
Matt Rogers, I have to agree with my sister. I love my Helix Midnight mattress as well. And sometimes I have what the kids are saying, Helix mattress rot days. Not just bed rot.
Oh my.
It's gosh. Helix mattress rot.
See me up in the bed like 50 Lem girls.
Yes. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know? How will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body?
Well, take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a Midnight mattress all those years ago because I wanted something that felt medium feel and because I sleep on my side and back.
Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free.
And it's your lucky day. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/LasCulturistas and use the code HELIXPARTNER20, HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
We're going to figure out if his last name was Douglas or not. But in the meantime, we're going to do I Don't Think So, Honey. And this is our sort of iconic segment, Jeremy, where we sort of pop off for 1 minute. And you've done it. You've done a live show. I've seen you twirl. We do 60 seconds of
can't
something.
Believe I get to witness the two of you doing this right now and see your face.
Oh, it's good. Prepare to be
disappointed. Incredibly privileged. Sorry, go ahead.
Prepare to be disappointed.
All right. So, okay.
I have one.
You want to go first today? Because I think I need a second.
Yeah, I have one.
Oh my God, wait. Sure. Has Be Real popped off? No, okay. There's been no Be Real
there's
yet.
There's been no Be Real. That's okay.
Thank God. Okay.
Thank Oof. God.
But I was really nervous there because I've been so engaged in the conversation. I almost forgot to be
Me
real.
Me too. I was being real here.
Yeah, we were too busy being real here to be real over there. And sometimes that's going to happen with the app
sometimes
Be Real. Do you have Be Real? Do you have Be Real, Jeremy?
No, in fact, I truly didn't know what the fuck you were talking about. And I, as we were talking beforehand, I Googled it and I look at it now. And I, or I'm seeing, I'm looking at it like literally as we speak. And
are you not intrigued?
This is not for me.
It's not for you.
I think it's for everyone because it actually like, it solves so many problems that are so like disgusting about social media, about Instagram specifically, where it's like, it feels too like.
It's a brochure. Yes.
It's a brochure. And so Be Real is just like, you see how boring, you see how everyone is just as boring as you are.
I'm going to get on it. I'm going to eat my words, actually, and get on it. I'm
Jeremy,
to answer your question, I definitely am intrigued.
I don't want to pressure you, but I think you and Jason would really like it.
Like, control over my image is, like, very, very scary to me.
I understand. But it's
being
also
authentic with people is not, like, I'm not interested in that.
Okay. Yeah. Then maybe it isn't for you. But I think it could be liberating. Like, I found it very liberating, and it's
and
it's
so you
felt
like, you follow people, and they follow you, and then.
And it's so what it does is
what
it, there's a time, a random time that every single day where it goes, you have 2 minutes to post your Be Real, and it's a front facing camera shot and a rear facing camera
this,
shot.
Actually.
And so you just, wherever you are, it's so nice to like, and you, everyone's looking to feed the same time of each other's Be Reels. It's people walking down the street or cooking or just sitting around in their house. It's real.
That's actually kind of genius. I actually kind of love that.
It's so genius.
You're going to love the way you look.
I guarantee it.
Okay. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, us not getting to see Darcy and Perry fuck, and I love that for you. You just see them make out and kiss, and that's it. I wanted to see these two hot, my friend is hot, and John O. Wilson is hot.
He really
hot
is.
White men, fuck. Why can't you give that to us? I wanted to see that, and then you get Matt Rodgers taping up a box with a smile on his face in the next scene. No, show me skin flapping on skin. I want sweat. I want these two men to work with an intimacy coordinator and have a good time and respect each other's boundaries. And John Wilson, I met him very briefly at a screening once. He was so lovely. I want more John Wilson
seconds.
Screen time in addition to more Matt Rodgers screen time. I can't wait to see how this story ends up. I can't wait to see where the story ends. But I just give us more gay sex scenes in TV. It's showtime. Come on. We saw Hunter Parrish's ass every season on fucking Weeds.
And that's 1 minute. I have to agree.
God, me too.
Honestly, what my dream for season two is just it opens on Perry and Darcy
fucking just parts, just body parts fucking for an unbroken 5 minute shot.
And then have Beth Ann there. Why not? Just if it's like, oh, we can't have two guys, like we can't have anal, then like have like one of Aiden's
we
tits.
Can't have anal.
It's actually
that
in
is
my contract. It's actually in my Showtime contract that I have to show my ass if you ask. Okay, so I'm just saying.
I have to.
I spoke with my lawyer about it. They were like, "You have to show your ass. It's Showtime." And I was like, "I'm good with it." But listen, I have many hopes and dreams for season
two. What's
weird
is that's in my contract too, is the right
I remember reading in the script that was going to happen, and we like we're going to shoot it. And I remember coming to you, and I think do you remember this? I asked you, I was like, so do you think that they fuck in this product closet? And then you were like, I think that they do like everything but fucking. I think that like they don't fuck explicitly, but like I think they have a good time. And I was like, okay, cool. And I just have to like fill in the blanks for myself, like, and what happened. And that I had a fun time doing that.
Oh.
I pictured it that it was like that it's like that moment where you finally, which I definitely like in college had with somebody in a stairwell or something, where you're like, we are going to go there, and this is not the place right now, but like this is hot.
TBD.
What's Jono's background? Is he a comedy guy? Did he do?
He's
Groundlings.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Groundlings. Oh, great. Good for him.
He's awesome. A fucking genius. He's such a find.
Yeah. He really is so funny. And he's just great so good actor. At the character, and he's great energy mm-hmm. to the point where, like, I remember, like, we shot a scene earlier in the season where it was just like me getting like a video testimonial for him for Molly's character's like anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember we went back and forth a couple times, and like I did have a little bit of butterflies in my stomach because I do think he's so funny and handsome. And I walked away, and Jesse Klein came over to me, and she was like, "I think there was a little bit of chemistry there." And I was like, "Do you think?" And then I didn't think about it until the end of the season. And then I had truly like had such a friend crush on him. I loved him so much. And then I read in the script that it was going to happen. And I remember my stomach went to my feet because I was like, oh my God. Oh no. I hope he's like cool with this. I hope he doesn't like mind. Like, cause he's a straight guy. You know, I've never done it.
By the way, he came to us
before.
And he was like, no fucking way.
I'd never done an on-screen kiss before, and he was my first on-screen kiss, and so I was just like, oh my God. Like, I was so nervous. I was really nervous.
Matt, it's so funny. It's so fucking funny. So it's my great. Favorite. It's so funny.
I love it, too.
Well, that's my I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Matt, do you have one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Top Gun Maverick. Mama, I really tried. I really tried super hard for this. Honestly, I think it takes a really long time to get good. And once it gets good, it is good, and I am standing. But the thing is, like, I Don't Think So, Honey, the fact that they had, like, this, like, beach volleyball scene that they tried to recreate with, like, a beach football scene, and it wasn't nearly gay enough. The thing that's so good about Top Gun is you have that insane scene of them playing beach volleyball, and they're greased up, and the men are so fucking hot. And the camera lingers on their body, and it feels homoerotic. Was this? I Don't Think So, Honey. And I don't know if it's because now Tom Cruise is all in his head about being called gay, like so many years later, and he wasn't in his head about it then. But the fact is, like, the cuts were so short and sharp, and you didn't get to linger on the hottest men in America, Jay Ellis, Glenn Powell, Miles Teller, and you're gonna float away from them. No, I Don't Think So, Honey. I needed more. I needed more of Jennifer Connelly, like with her perfect hair after a sailboating. I needed more. It wasn't gay enough for me. I Don't Think So, Honey.
And that's 1 minute.
Because
totally
the thing
fair.
About Top Gun is it's like a gay homoerotic movie on top of being for straight men,
right.
And that's what brought everyone together to
so
enjoy it
true.
As monoculture. And I just feel like the thing that was missing was, like, I was watching it the whole time waiting for the climax, and then in the process of watching it, I'm like, where's the gay shit? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And, like, just having a Lady Gaga score in the background is not enough. Like, I wanted more visceral homoerotic shit. That is what brings me to Top Gun and as a result Top Gun Maverick. And I feel like they chickened out of it.
Yeah,
you have a decent point.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But I loved the movie. Yes.
You loved it?
I did, yes.
What did you like about it?
I just love Tom Cruise. Yeah. I love Tom Cruise. I think he's a perfect movie star. Mm. He's got so much going on. He makes the most simple, like, ridiculous little things feel so high stakes.
Yeah.
In, like, 1 minute. It's and he the way he listens, and he's sort of like clenching his jaw when he's listening, you see the little, like, muscles in the side of his face move. He's just so in the world of make-believe that you're like, you can't help but only believe the reality that he's presenting to you. There's no way to look away from it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I think the last great Tom Cruise movie I saw was, unfortunately, Edge of Tomorrow, and that was, like, ages ago.
Well, that's but fantastic.
It's fantastic movie.
The thing about Tom Cruise is he is a great actor, and you actually,
so
as an actor, can learn a lot from watching him.
Yes.
Because he is so crazy that he is, like, an active listener, and everything feels very watchable when he's on screen because he is so in it. My problem is not with him, and I understand
it's with the gayness.
I understand that in dragging Top Gun Maverick, you sort of do drag Tom Cruise because he is so involved in the fabric of making it. Like, it's everything is always a Tom Cruise production, etc. But for me, it's just like, I feel the movie shied away from one of the elements that, whether they want to admit it or not, made it really great.
And you want to see Jay Ellis greased up, like, kind of wrestling with Glenn or something.
And also too many characters, like just too many characters that I didn't care about, like, Jay Ellis's character at all. I didn't really, I mean, when Glenn Powell, like, spoiler alert, 15 seconds, when Glenn Powell comes in and, like, saves the day at the end, like, I get that he and Miles Teller, like, had like a rivalry that sort of mirrors the one that Val Kilmer had with Tom earlier, but, like, it wasn't lived in enough. Like, I didn't feel the stakes of it. I also really don't like, and this should have been in the I Don't Think So, Honey, but I don't like what they did with the Meg Ryan character. Like, she dies off screen. They barely mention her. And I feel that it was giving sexism that they didn't have her back. And also, like, what happened to Kelly McGillis? What happened to her character? I know she wasn't asked either. They just, like, moved on with Jennifer Connelly, who's, like, I guess character's name is mentioned in the original, but that's not really enough for me. I wanted a little bit more connection to the original for the gays and for the women who also enjoy Top Gun. This movie was aggressively hetero in a way that I feel was, like, hetero drag fun maximalism, but the grandeur of the homoeroticism I was missing. And I thought that they could have made that gesture. That's sure. all.
It would have sure. been amazing if, like, when John Hamm walks up to him on the beach, he's like, we have, like, 1 week left for training. What are you out here playing football? What are you doing? He's like, you want a team? There's your team. And you just cut to them and it's just full orgy. Just
yeah.
full yeah. fucking on the beach.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That could have been great.
Thank you for that. So it is time for Jeremy Byler's I Don't Think So, Honey. Are you ready, sir?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Buckle this up, baby.
Time is Jeremy Byler's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time, it starts now.
Okay, I Don't Think So, Honey, QR code menus, okay? And this is a phenomenon that has made it to Europe. I think we have all agreed you cannot catch COVID from a piece of paper. We
Thank
all
you.
Know this. I want, hand me a piece of paper. I don't want to click through to the cocktails and then click back to the appetizers. Can I please, like, order, like, a burrata or a kale salad or, like, an avocado toast without having to use Face ID? And can we? And by the way, classist, okay? Ageist, okay?
Yes.
My parents don't know how to use a QR code. Not everybody is on the fucking 15. Tim Cook teat, like, slapping their thumbs on a little rectangle of glass all day, like a fucking T-Rex. I just want a warm glow. I want to be with my
Five
friends,
seconds.
My husband, fellowshipping. I don't want blue light. This is not a blue light place. I don't think so, honey.
And that's one
Thank
minute.
You
and,
so much.
And you know what? That was topical, timely, and truthful. Thank you.
Well, there's a real anger within me.
I know
All
it.
You want is your husband and fellowship? Is that what you said? Gorgeous.
Fellowshipping, friends, you know, just a warm candlelight glow. And is there anything more relatable than a complaint about a restaurant?
Absolutely. We all understand that this has
timeless.
Been. But here's the thing. You are so correct. You can't get COVID from it. But now it's like, you know what's going on? It's like, oh, wow, we've really, like, reduced the, like, wasting
the
of
footprint.
Paper,
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
footprint. And now I don't think we will ever go back. I think that's one of those things that with COVID has changed forever. I really do.
Is it also the restaurants? Is it restaurants being like, oh, this is just easier? Like,
maybe.
We don't have to do anything. We just, like, tape this to the table and then we put it online and, like, whatever. Like,
it's, I guess it's more tedious to have the menus, but it does, for me, it takes away from the service aspect a little bit. I'm like, oh, I want to be like, I want for someone to reach over me and hand me something or take something
yes,
away.
And hand me a thing that's been printed in my
yes,
honor.
Yes.
Also, it's a lot to negotiate, like the scrolling back and forth between, like, brunch, it's, lunch, dinner, drinks. It's like, you want it all in one
nice
spot.
It's nice to
one
be able
shop.
To, like, check your email while you're ordering, but, you know, it's...
Yeah.
I've been trying to, like, notice when I have, like, little feelings, like, deep within, and when I pull out, you know, when I pull out the and take the QR code, it's like there's something happening. Something
right.
happens.
Ooh.
Right.
And you let that out. I'm so glad.
And I let it out. Thank you for affording me the opportunity.
I hope that restaurants hear this. Restaurant managers hear this. I think a lot of people in the industry listen to this podcast. And mm-hmm. I want people to start unionizing, shaking things up at their restaurant. I want servers, busboys, barbacks. You guys are the backbone of these restaurants. So it's your voice that matters. During the next staff meeting, let's say something. Okay?
Let's say something. Let's make this bottom up. Okay?
Let's make this bottom up.
Not top down.
Top down, bottom up. This has been a top down, bottom up, absolutely fantastic episode of Las Culturistas. Jeremy.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me here.
It's Jeremy.
It was a lot of fun.
The best.
We're thrilled.
I feel like I got called to the fun person table. Like, I really feel.
Was it fun?
I feel like.
Did you
it
have a
really
nice time?
Do you not have fun anymore doing these?
No, we always have fun.
We always have fun, but you're in Spain while your husband is, like, in the yard. Like, that sounds like more fun to me.
Yeah, it sounds iconic.
Well, but here's the thing. We're parked for like a long, for like weeks. I'm like, I'm having all my long days reading my books. Now is my moment to like connect with the real world and see people that I love. And this was actually perfect. And now we have a Rioja.
Oh my God. I want a Rioja so bad. Oh my God, a Rioja with your gorgeous husband. Oh God, in Spain. What the aspirational life. Well, we love you so much. And the season finale of I Love That For You is airing this weekend. You can stream it on Friday and then forever. And you can watch it when it airs linear on Sunday at 8:30 on Showtime. But this has been great. Thank you, motherfucker.
Thank you.
We end every episode with a song. To listen to the rest of that, you can get the VHS tape of Titanic away in your parents' closet somewhere and sort of fast forward to the end of the second cassette and wait for the credits.
Bye.
Bye. There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort. Creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
There's 2 kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.